Take KUJZ 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go at 95.3thescore.com.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
Let's do it!
Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Getting let out and carrying us into the 5 o'clock hour on a Tuesday. Yeah! The NFL trade deadline came and went.
Steve, wake up! Oh, God, Steve!
It was supposed to be so dramatic, remember? That dude I was talking about earlier, Gary Myers, who wrote for the Dallas Morning News. I remember when he was a writer for the New York Daily News. He did the occasional stint on ESPN Sports Reporters back in the day with Dick Schaap and Lupica and Bob Ryan. I'm trying to think who also would appear on that show. I know John Saunders would later host it after Schaap passed, and he passed. It was a great show in its day because you heard reporters actually talking rather than tweeting about some of the issues of the day. And his tweet of the NFL trading deadline is now better drama than the baseball trading deadline. So I was like, based on my tweet was, well, linguine is now better than spaghetti, unless you prefer spaghetti. I mean, it has no meaning. And if you think about first, isn't it more dramatic if something dramatic happens? Or is everybody just a drama queen at this point? I mean, 2 years ago, it was kind of dramatic when the Astros got Justin Verlander from the Tigers and ended up winning the World Series. The year before that, remember, the Cubs wanted Aroldis Chapman to be their closer from the Yankees, but they had to part with Gleyber Torres, and it went down to the wire. Finally, they decided to do it. They lost the guy who's going to end up being one of the best players in baseball, but they got their World Series, so totally worth it. All right, 284. I had to have a sip of water. I'm sorry. I was parched.
In the middle of a sentence.
You couldn't have signaled. I mean, that got my attention. I was doing something else, and then I hear you just stopping talking, and then just the slight little gulp in the back.
It was very googly, googla goonga.
Great googly boo.
It was, anyway. So, NFL now just about halfway. Some teams haven't played their eighth game. Some have. And something I've been, obviously the new NCAA rule that will allow athletes to profit from likeness. And to tell you the truth, I'm just checking out. I want to see how this plays out. I don't trust the NCAA, who thinks all of a sudden they're going to go become altruistic Jones and just start allowing willy-nilly to have their players that they've had under their thumb since day one to be making cabbage, and they're not going to get their cut with a guy like Mark Emmert running the show and, you know, Larry Scott, who insists that he has to travel in a gold-plated suite everywhere he goes and is more worried about petty, stupid things like their address at headquarters rather than how a crap their referees are. So, yeah, color me skeptical. It's a horse of a different color. So if you got thoughts on that, you know, chime in. 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline for all of your diesel needs since 1974. Online, OregonFuelInjection.com. You could also try us on the text line, 3210824. On Twitter, it's at 953thescore. For the station, at SportsTalk953. For me and for Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. And we got Justin Verlander in Strasburg, Game 6 of the World Series, about to throw the first pitch. as the scene shifts back to 62nd Aid in Houston. So I started kicking around this idea Saturday afternoon, and I decided, you know what? This is a tough game against the Cougs. I'm not even going to take that leap of faith. So I did it this morning. For those who were thinking, you know, does Oregon really have a path to the playoff? And by the way, yeah, I get first things first. They got to win Saturday, and then they got to win the rest of their games, because a two-loss Oregon or a two-loss Utah ain't getting in. And personally, if I'm betting, it really is going to take a lot. First of all, like I said, you got to win the rest of the games. But bottom line is, regardless, they've got a shot at the Rose Bowl as the North victor. And I'm not that greedy. And for those who say, well, you shouldn't be looking ahead. Why not? I could. I'm not in the meeting room. I'm not designing a game plan. I don't have to follow up last week's somewhat scattered defensive performance against Washington State against another air raid attack with Graham Harrell and Kedon Slovis throwing the ball to some lethal arsenal. I guess an arsonist really shouldn't be on the field, but
also would be lethal.
Yeah, an arsonist is probably a bad thing to be. So I've said this a million times. No coach or player who lost the big game ever stood in front of the media and said, well, the radio guy or Uncle Leo was looking ahead and not focused, so whatever. And I'll tell you what, if Oregon's close, they'll get the benefit of the doubt. I know people get skeptical and they try to throw a pity party, and Oregon doesn't get respect. Kiss off. That's so ridiculous. Everybody loves this program outside of Corvallis and Washington, D.C., and outside of Seattle. They're a national pet. I mean, you know, a lot of people have now that big uniform connection, but Oregon was first. They've got a really good national reputation. They've really never been snubbed. It was the computers in 01 and the loss at home to Stanford that got them in trouble. And in 2005, while they were in a running for an at-large, they did lose to that great USC team. It wasn't close. You know, when they beat Arizona that year, the Sun Devils were ranked but ended up very mediocre. Cal was top 20 when they beat it, ended up 25th. So that was their best win. And regardless, they ended up falling to the Holiday Bowl and lost. So it was a non-issue. Now, 2019, they're seventh in the AP poll. If they can get another enormous road win against USC, first of all, we'll learn what the selection committee thinks, because Tuesday night is the first one. And obviously they need two of the unbeatens ahead of them to lose. So we'll talk about that. We'll get into the details. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in John. John, good afternoon. How's it going?
Not too bad. I think what you experienced there a couple of minutes ago, I think the term is great googly moogly.
Yeah, I was stuck between the Snickers bar commercial and Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
Well, I had a story here. I was telling a friend at work about the Register Guard no longer shows the... Like Friday's paper, they would always have the Oregon and whoever they're playing their lineups.
Right.
They don't have that anymore. And so I thought she said, I'll get you a copy of the roster. So a couple days go by, and she says, I have the roster here for you. So she says, this used to be my mom's. And hands me a program from when Oregon played USC at the Coliseum from 1946.
Okay.
And on Oregon's roster was a 20-year-old, 6-foot, 180-pound halfback named Norm Van Brocklin.
He was a halfback when he started?
Well, it just says H for his position.
Interesting. I mean, you know, a lot of guys go to college recruited one way and end up at another position. That's pretty interesting.
And a lot of the kids, well, they're Oregon kids mostly. So, you know, they wouldn't be recruited now, but But the let's see, she showed.
I think we just lost John.
$7.75.
What, the ticket?
For a ticket at the Coliseum.
Wow, I'm actually surprised it was that much back then in the 40s.
Well, I don't know where. It says Stairway 9, Row 75. I don't know where that is exactly.
Well, I've never been to the Coliseum myself, so you got me.
Yeah, and then they on the back, they had a the USC men's alumni were having a dinner banquet, and tickets were going for $3.50.
All right. Well, the ticket pricing, appreciate the call, John. In 1946, you know, the war was over. People were feeling their oats. They're like, hey, you want to come to the alumni dinner? You're going to have to spring for three whole bucks. All right. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Jersey Jack. Jack, how's it going?
All right, Steve. How are you doing tonight?
All right. What's up?
I just want to say, I believe you favor a 4-team playoff at the end of the year. Is that not correct?
Yes, I will forever believe it's perfect and should never be messed with.
Okay, well, I just hope there are 6 or 7 undefeated teams at the end of the season, and there's Oregon sitting with a one loss, and the only good thing about that is they'll go to the Rose Bowl, probably. But if they don't get into the playoff, I just think every Power Five conference needs to have a team compete. And then I think you have 3 at-larges, and you make it an 8-game playoff. Just get with it, because it's going to happen.
Well, first of all,
maybe not for 10 years, but it will happen.
First of all, you got to understand the max this year would be 4 unbeatens. There's no chance that there's going to be more than 4, because you got LSU and Bama. So, and by the way, and that's a fluke itself. There's never been more than 3 since the BCS was born in 1998, and that was 2004.
Right. I agree with you. You're right about that.
I know,
what if you have 5 1-beaten teams?
Yeah, to me, it's like the minute you lose all your excuses. So win all your games,
okay,
be in a major conference, and you'll never have a problem.
So why have conference championships?
To determine who goes to the other bowl games.
All right. Okay. We will agree to disagree on this.
All right.
And we'll see what happens. You have a good night.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Yeah, to me, it's about my favorite part about college football is it is the most unique among all the sports. Playing for the title is really, really hard. If you lose a game, it's like, wow, did we just blow our chance right then, right there? That doesn't happen in the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, MLB, college basketball, any other sport. That's what makes it so unique and cutthroat, and that's why I am eternally wed in holy matrimony to a 4-team playoff. Teams that lose a game, when you start complaining, I tune you out. I start thinking of my favorite Zeppelin songs, what I might want to get my wife for Christmas. I don't want to hear about it. The system is meant, under my thumb, the way it works now is, you could remove the system, the polls, the BCS, the presidents, everybody. If you play in a Power Five and you win all your games, you will get in the playoff every single solitary year without fail until proven otherwise. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in the other Steve. How you doing?
Okay. La, 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 la. Just giving you some of your own stuff there. Somebody mentions one loss.
Okay.
Your prior caller mentioned Norman Rand Brockman described as a halfback. If I'm not mistaken, Oregon was still back in those days running a single wing formation.
Right.
You had what were called 2 halfbacks, a fullback, and a quarterback. Now, the quarterback did not receive the ball under that formation. He called the signals. And then the tailback, who was one of the halfbacks was called a tailback, was receiving the center snap, and that was the person who basically became, in later parlance, the quarterback. Am I making sense here?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. You had the two backs standing side by side, and then you had a wing back was just off one of the edges, and then you had the fullback playing right behind one or the other of the quarterback and halfback. So that's the way the alignment was, and the fellow taking the ball would be, being Van Brocklin in this case, listed as a halfback, was throwing all the passes.
I got you. And if I remember correctly, I think in the movie Horse Feathers, that's also the offense the Marx Brothers used.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, yeah. Well, that movie was back in the 30s.
I don't know why I thought of that. I just picture them back there in suits and football helmets running an offense.
Oh, yeah, with a cigar. Right. And the T formation, as it became known, with a quarterback directly under center and the three backs behind him, so it formed an actual T, was Clark Shaughnessy's invention. And the Bears were the first team to pick it up in 1940, I believe, 40 or 41. And that might have been 41. And they got into the ultimate playoff, the championship playoff against Washington, and beat them, I believe, 73-0.
Yeah, that's the most lopsided championship game ever.
Yeah.
By far.
And so that was the explanation of why Van Brocklin would have been described as a halfback on the program.
Nice. Good insight there, Steve.
Okie doke.
I appreciate it. You have a good one. All right, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in, by the way, the Nats. We got the leadoff runner on while I was talking to you guys. What are we waiting for these guys? My Nats have pushed a run across, and they're up one love on Verlander, who should just never pitch in the World Series anymore, apparently. With that thought in mind, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go, and we welcome in Ken. Ken, good afternoon. How you doing?
Great, Steve. How are you doing?
All right, what's up?
So just your caller prior to other Steve, just a thought I had, you know, this whole obligation or the mandatory one loss Power Five champion deal. Well, this year, if things play out, say perfect scenario, either a one loss Oregon or Utah wins the Pac-12, they could easily be excluded for a runner up from a division. Because you've got an LSU and a Penn State who are still in the mix, and say that one of those two or both of them lose a game, you could still have an argument where they, as a runner-up in a conference, or they didn't even make a championship, could be ranked ahead of, you know, an Oklahoma, an Oregon, a conference champion like that. So that, to like you, I love just the uncertainty of things, and I love kind of the chaos that's involved in college football, because it's really the best, and maybe you don't get the best team by paperwork or by being the champion, but, you know, it seems to work out, and it's really entertaining. But that was just my two cents on the matter. But, hey, if the Ducks take care of their games, then I guess at least you're in that discussion, and it'll be fun to watch and see what happens.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Ken, and I agree. If Oregon or Utah wins out, and someone, if Oklahoma gets beat, or if, you know, there's a one-loss SEC champ, I will bet anybody anything a one-loss conference champion from the Pac-12 does not get snubbed for a non-conference champion, same record from another league. But remember, there's also this danger that I don't think is impossible. Because with Oklahoma losing, it became more realistic. So Baylor technically controls their destiny. Nobody's even considered them, by the way. But if they were to win out and win the conference championship game, which would include a win against Oklahoma, they're unbeaten. They're going. Clemson, I can't imagine losing to anybody in the crappy ACC. They're still unbeaten. They're going. If the winner of LSU-Bama goes on to win now and bounce the East winner, be it Georgia or Florida or whoever, they're in. And then you have if Ohio State, Penn State, or Minnesota wins out, they're in. So that's the problem with Utah losing to SC and Oregon losing to Auburn is there are only four power leagues left and they all can have an unbeaten champion. If Oregon's unbeaten in the Pac-12 and they're going against a one-loss team who didn't win their conference championship, I'll tell you what, if it comes to it, I'll bet any of you they go. I don't even think it's a concern.
But that's the thing, is that the committee has shown in the past that they would rather send a team that didn't play in a conference. I mean, the circumstances were different because
that's
teams
it,
had different
records.
That's it,
they were different.
But I feel
an
like...
An Oregon team who's won 12 in a row and only lost to Auburn in Dallas ain't getting snubbed by a non-conference champ. The committee, the country, ESPN, they love Oregon. They are getting the benefit of the doubt. I will bet you if it comes to, I will bet anybody anything. I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is.
Red Sox
on video.
Tattoo.
No, money. Oh. I only bet cash.
Oh, well, that's not as fun.
I'll bet.
You said bet anything. I said Red Sox
tattoo.
I mean
cash. Only idiots bet stuff like that they can never do away with. It's the same thing of getting your first girlfriend's name tattooed. I'm not an idiot. I'm a gambler. There's a difference.
Sometimes an idiot gambler.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Friday, it's approaching, isn't it? We'll be at the IHOP at Gateway again for a Friday Duck Talk, as Nick likes to say. Come down, free pancakes! It's brought to you by our friends at Bi-Mart. And, obviously, we've been having a lot of fun. It's been nothing but talking about wins. We've had great guests. Rich Rule from the 94 team. Brent Haberle from the 05 and 06 team. What's with the linebackers taking over the world? Come on down. Well, we roll from 8 to 9. You come down, have breakfast. A lot of people been coming down. It's a lot of fun. Good little social breakfast to get your Friday off and rolling. And if you can't make it, it's on our sister station in 96.1 KZL. And again, we look forward to it this Friday, 8 to 9, Friday Duck Talk. I'm the host, and we roll on 96.1 KZL, but we'd love to see you down there. And, of course, tune in to Oregon Duck Football right here on KUJZ 95.3. The Score. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I got cut off. I was trying to give you Oregon's path, and you guys all of a sudden want to have all kind of nutty conversations about the 1940s, about the single wing. I just pulled my microphone. Sorry, the Italian in me. I started talking with my hands, and I jacked it out of there. But we're back. We're better. More sports talk comes your way next. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
When you're at Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Oklahoma, when you walk into somebody's house in your league, man, that target's on you. And guess what that other team's going to do? They're going to play great. The object is to win the game. People aren't going to be worried about, remember 5 weeks ago when Clemson only beat North Carolina by one? No, you know what they're talking about now? Man, Oklahoma, what happened to that defense?
I agree. I know. That was Mark Packer of the ACC Network. Basically, what you have now is moving forward with the seven unbeatens and teams like Oregon and Utah and Florida and Georgia is a win in advance. You know, you lose, you might be out. Obviously, with the one-loss teams, a loss and you're done. But with teams like Baylor and Minnesota and some of the other one-loss teams who aren't even ranked ahead of the one-loss teams, you know, if they fall, they're done. That's the end of their playoff hopes. So, like I said, I've carved a path. It's not likely, but it's mathematically possible. What the hell was that? Alex Bregman just hit a homer off Strasburg, and he carried the bat with him and handed it to his first base coach. Was he expecting an attack of some kind? I don't know if I've ever seen that. But anyway, maybe it was just, hey, save that. I just hit a homer in the World Series. This is pretty cool. All right, two, and maybe the home run that'll win the World Series because they just went up 2-1 on the Nats. All right, 284-85. Oh, my God. Strasburg, you get enough of the plate on that one? 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Gary. Gary, good afternoon. How's it going?
Now that I'm speaking with you, all the world is right.
Oh, my God. That's a low bar.
That's one we can hurdle, so we'll accept that. Hey, just wanted to touch base with you real quick. I was looking at future athletic events, and I would recommend circling your calendar for November 29th. If things go well and the basketball gods are with us, we'll have a chance to see the Bahamas Paradise Islands Championship, featuring the Oregon Ducks and the Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Yep, we've made a note of that with you in mind, I might add.
Well, I appreciate her. Well, it'd be a great game.
I still, if I live to be a billion, don't understand how they don't play every year, that program and this program. What that would mean, I don't care if it's a home and home, I don't care if they play it at Portland or they play it up in Seattle. I mean, that would turn this region on its ear for basketball fans. I hope they end up playing. I don't understand why it's got to come to that.
Well, the other thing that you would be real happy about then is we get the actual physical playing of the Northwest Championship for basketball. Because this year, not only will Gonzaga be playing
Washington schools
and Oregon, so Washington will play Oregon. Everybody gets to play each other, and we'll have the best out of the three for the championship of the Northwest.
No, it'll be cool, and I appreciate the call, Gar. The bottom line is it'll come down to Gonzaga playing, I think it's Southern Miss. And I know the Eagles are they still in Conference USA? Anyway, that, you know, they're mostly known because Brett Favre went there, but didn't play a lot of basketball. And I'll look that up. I don't know what kind of basketball team the Golden Eagles have. They do play in Conference USA. They were a 20-win team a year ago. They've only been to the NCAA tournament once in the last 27 years. So right out of the gate, I'm thinking if Oregon takes care of business and Gonzaga doesn't get upset, we'll finally see Bulldogs Ducks on the hardwood. All right, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Right back to the phones we go. Bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, good afternoon. That conversation was a perfect example why I'm not a big fan of the college football playoff system, because you don't get that. Everybody wants to avoid playing each other. But going back to the college football, and this preface this, obviously Oregon needs to win all their games. And I do believe Saturday game at USC is probably their biggest remaining hurdle on their schedule, and unless something bizarre happens with Arizona, ASU, or OSU. But one other thing I noticed last night, Steve. Oh, but by the way, you got three guaranteed losses because Alabama plays LSU, Ohio State plays Penn State, and Georgia plays Florida. So theoretically, Oregon ends up number five. But the thing about it, too, I was looking about the SEC last night to notice how often because they only play their eight league games and they got, what, seven teams in each division, so they only play two cross-division games every year.
Right.
Alabama plays Florida and Georgia like once every 3 to 4 years.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I agree that Alabama's been the best team in college football for the last several years. But man, when you really start digging into this, it's pretty slanted on the way that things are set up in the college football playoff system because, boy, I don't get what the quality wins are for Alabama other than their LSU if they beat LSU this year because the SEC is weak.
Yeah, especially they're even more top-heavy than usual. And yeah. I believe the one thing the NCAA should do beyond expand, which I know a lot of people want, I don't, is uniform. Everybody plays 9 conference games. You get to play your one paycheck game because the smaller schools need that. Then your other non-conference should be from a Power 5. And then if you want, you could play a MAC team or a Sun Belt team or a Mountain West team. I think a uniform schedule would make it easier.
Yeah, they've got to be, I agree. It's got to be either 9 games or 8 games, you know, whatever, one way or the other. Because if you look at both LSU and Bama are off this week because they play each other the week after. But then they both got, you know, the week after that they play, you know, whatever it is, some low-tier FBS team or FCS team. So, I mean, God, you really look at their schedule. Those teams are pretty good about only having 1 or 2 key games every year. For the most part, so I really do. I wish it would go to you win your conference. I mean, you win your conference and you're in the playoffs. But who knows? We'll ever see that. But anyway, I'm stoked about the game from Saturday night for the Ducks, and they've been playing fantastic. So I'll leave it with go Ducks.
All right, hey, appreciate the call, Mike. Good stuff. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And one thing that the SEC powers have become, I'm not going to say famous, I'm going to say notorious, because I think it's a negative, is an unwillingness to play true road games. I mean, Alabama has played some really good teams in Atlanta, at the FedEx Stadium in D.C., and, you know, like, for example, next year, Alabama plays USC. You know where? Jerry's World. The next year, Alabama plays Miami. You know where? The Ben Stadium in Atlanta. Now, starting in 2022, however, they started a real home and home. They're going to go to Austin to play Texas. Texas is going to play them. They're going to go play at Wisconsin. Wisconsin is going to play them. So it's trending in a better way. And, you know, you look ahead, Bama's got at West Virginia. They got at Notre Dame. They got at Oklahoma. But we're talking over the next 10 years. So,
But you're talking about
Tugo Vailoa is going to run out of eligibility.
But you're talking about, like, you knew the playoff was coming. You knew that the playoff committee was going to say we value true home and home or road game systems, and it's still taken Alabama 5 years to realize, oh, 10 years down the road, we need to start scheduling better, and they're still getting the benefit of it, and they can still easily back out of all of those games that you mentioned by writing a check and scheduling Wofford and FCS Southeast on their schedule and getting away with it because we're constantly just saying, they play in the SEC.
But they've also
SEC's
never
really
backed
tough.
Out, so.
Well, because they don't actually schedule anybody tough. Like, you think about, ooh, Florida State at a neutral site would be a good game, and Florida State loses their quarterback and they win by 55. They're
going to
play
Texas.
That's
not Alabama's fault.
Yeah, it's not, but it's still just like they're not actually scheduling tough teams. They're just like, middle
well,
of the team conference.
The bottom line is, every time they schedule one of those teams, they were really good at the time. Let's not forget, it wasn't that long ago. Florida State was a national champ and a playoff team
right,
when Alabama scheduled them.
Sure, but they didn't. I mean, they're just like, and then, oh, you're really good now. You'll probably keep this up. Let's play 5 years from now when we've got 9 different recruiting classes that have come through and you've had some turnover and we're still Alabama. Well, you're good now. We'll play you in
Yeah, but Alabama's also dipped. You could crucify them for not playing road games, but when they've scheduled USC and who else was it? You just mentioned Florida State and other teams. They were really good when they scheduled them, but over a couple years, Alabama remained a powerhouse while they slipped. There's no way to tell that, though. I mean, like I said, you're on their case, which I'm with you, but for the right reason. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So we were talking, it seemed like about 40 minutes ago, about how everything stood, and with Oregon 7th in the AP poll, and one of our callers nailed it. This is now not only Oregon's biggest game, but this is their last real top quality win, because even though where USC is ranked, It's going to be the national game on Fox at 8 o'clock in primetime on the East Coast. And USC is playing well now. They've got a quarterback who is now entrenched as their guy in Graham Harrell's offense. This is going to be viewed as a quality win. It'll set the stage. And everything you're saying, everything Nick's saying, everything I'm saying, everything you're texting, let's not forget. Let's be optimists. Let's say Oregon wins. All the speculation about what the selection committee has to say, the timing is perfect because guess what? They play the game on Saturday. Tuesday, as we sign off, they have the first selection committee rankings. So there's not going to be any, well, they view this, it's going to be like, there it is. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
What's
I just kind of wanted to touch base on what you were talking about there with the scheduling and stuff. And I 100% agree. You can't judge teams sometimes for who they play, especially if they're going out and then trying to play people. It's not like Alabama isn't trying to schedule people. It's hard to get other big programs to play them because they know if they lose, that may cost them an opportunity to get to the playoffs. As a Florida fan, I know Scott Strickland, our AD, reached out on Twitter a while back ago trying to, you know, schedule home-to-home series with a bunch of teams from big Power 5 conferences, and not really anybody would reach out. I mean, we got one with Utah, we got one with Texas, but we're trying to schedule other teams like Penn State, Michigan, other teams like that, but nobody wants to agree to it.
Yeah, they played Michigan at a neutral site a couple years ago, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, and, you know, historically, people are probably like, even though Florida has slipped a little bit in recent years, the thought of going and playing them in the swamp in September is probably not that attractive.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for Big Ten schools, Pac-12 schools, you know, that's definitely a tough place to play. And I was surprised Utah went ahead and, you know, scheduled the series. But, you know, Dan Mullen and Kyle Whittingham did work together under Urban Meyer there in Utah, so they kind of probably worked out an agreement.
Oh, good one. I never would have made that connection, but that you see that sometimes. All of a sudden, you'd be like, why are those two playing? And then you're like, oh, and there's a connection from where they used to work. Now, that's a good one.
Yeah, definitely, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, good information. Love it. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. There is a great site, fbschedules.com, and you could get all the future schedules and see who's got what. And remember, Florida years ago scheduled Miami this year. It wasn't that long ago that Miami was, you know, in the mix for really good things. And it's just the SEC has a history, and I see a few of you have texted me. They don't like to travel, especially out of their region, out of their time zone. To them, they'll go to Jerry's World, they'll go to D.C., they'll go to Atlanta, which, you know, and if USC or Oregon or UCLA, which has, you know, gone into SEC country to play, well, there's also I'm sorry, sometimes geography does not work in favor of the West Coast teams because outside of the Pac-12, you know, in that Montana, Utah, Idaho, going into Colorado, there's not really any powerhouse. New Mexico doesn't have really any powerhouses. So it's a real travel.
But there are big stadiums out here where you can have these neutral site games if you wanted to. The SEC constantly saying we're the best. We'd also don't travel because, oh, our fans wouldn't come with us. But please, you West Coast teams, travel just, you know, travel farther across the country to come to these games because we won't leave. That doesn't really make you look like a better conference.
Don't dismiss the role of ESPN here because they schedule a lot of the games and they have.
Do they?
Yeah.
ESPN is telling schools to play each other at a certain time?
No. I'm saying they, and the sponsorship is tied into the Mercedes-Benz Bowl in Atlanta, Jerry's World in Dallas, and
sure,
FedEx Field in Washington. No, there's, you know, I guess where in the West, besides Santa Clara, is a real neutral site game? The Rose Bowl is USC's home. There's no place to play. Seattle, I guess they could go to where Seahawks play.
Yeah, you can play in Seattle. You can play in Santa Clara. You could play
Anybody really want to play in that crappy stadium in Santa Clara?
I mean, they held the national championship game there. I don't know if they're ever going to come back because it was really bad. You can play in Arizona. You can play in Southern California is going to have a new stadium. Las Vegas is about to have a new stadium. Like, there are big arenas and buildings that you can come play in if you want to, but the SEC is constantly going to say, our fans won't travel. It's better if we're an hour and a half away so everybody can still tailgate and we can have a home game that's a neutral site. When I was at Jerry's World for the Auburn game, it was 65% Auburn fans were there. Like, that was a home game for them. That's not neutral site. They don't have to travel very far to get to Dallas. That's not a big deal for them.
Yeah, especially the SEC teams who play in Atlanta. Who's kidding who?
It's a joke. Georgia's going to have a neutral site game in Atlanta. Alabama's playing their neutral site game to start the year in Atlanta. That's not a neutral site. Alabama's playing UW down there or Auburn's playing UW down there to start the season. That's a road game. Like, it's a bunch of crap calling that a neutral site game, even though by all technicalities, it's a neutral site game. It's a joke.
All right. We need to take a break. We've run tardy. See what the SEC does to people?
They're the worst!
Let's take a break. We'll be back with the tweet of the day and a wrap of a Tuesday, 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. But the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that's made to chill. I don't know who broke the story, but Shams from Yahoo, at Shams Sharina, or no, he's with The Athletic, I believe, tweeted out, the NCAA says it has started a process to give student-athletes the opportunity to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. Quote, we must embrace change. This is the best news ever. At PFT commenter retweeting that with, DeColdest is going to be a multi-billionaire by the time he gets out of school. That's because yesterday there was a recruit who committed to LSU. His name is DeColdest Crawford.
I'm so jealous.
People, one of the tweets that went viral said, thought that his middle name was To Ever Do It. To Ever Do It. That turned out to be fake, but his name is still DeColdest. DeColdest!
Especially this time of year. Each day becomes the coldest one compared to the one before it.
Boo. Boo. Boo.
Are you kidding me? That was perfect.
It's a bad joke. At ESPN tweeted, now that the NCAA voted to allow college athletes to profit from their name, image, and likeness, could NCAA football make a return? And they have Jalen Hurts on a faux cover of NCAA Football 20. And at JD tweeting, or JMazJD tweeting, any reasonably respected sports gamer knows 2021 will be the first version possible. It's true, because Madden 20 came out in 2019 for some reason.
Always, right?
Yeah, it's always
it's like
a year.
The new cars. You could buy a 2020 in November.
Right, exactly. It's different. 2021 at the earliest. Probably need a year to develop and figure out what they're going to do. I've also, as we've been yelling about the college football playoff, I've been getting a slight case of anxiety thinking about what exactly it would be like when you're doing a dynasty mode in NCAA football 2021-2022, and you're the team that has one loss and you lost at a neutral field site and you're fifth. It's like, how is the committee going to decide who gets to be in or out? It's a video game. You can't have a committee on a video game. At least with the BCS, you were still yelling at a computer playing a video game.
If you're yelling over a video game, you have issues that transcend who gets in or out.
Oh, well, you haven't played video games. That's why you don't get that. But that leads us to our tweet of the day from @FoeJohnMadden, who quote tweeted the Associated Press that also tweeted out the breaking news, simply tagging @EA Sports. You know what to do.
That was it?
That's it. You know what to do. NCAA football is coming back. It's gonna be a thing. I'm going to be excited. You're going to be playing Connected Dynasties and online matches with all of your friends and mascot modes and Road to Glory and Heisman Road and all that stuff. It's all coming back. It's going to be great, and I'm here for it. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Rick Nodgers. You can follow Steve on Twitter, at SportsTalk953. You can follow the station, at 953 The Score. We're on Facebook and Instagram as well. Follow us everywhere. Be kind. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
Be kind. Rewind. Yes, also. All right. Couple final minutes. Tomorrow, we'll start our Wednesday show as usual with George Schroeder, USA Today, at 3:30. Her name is Rachel Welsh. She's a professor at Linfield College. And she is kind of an expert on sports management, and she has some what I hope is interesting insight into this whole new announcement today by the NCAA about players able to cash in on their likeness. We'll also talk with Antonio Morales of The Athletic. He covers USC, so we look forward to starting to delve in to this Trojans team that Oregon takes on. And we could probably talk a half hour about the receivers with Pittman and, like, Mike Jorgensen was talking about earlier on the show, Tyler Vaughns and this Amon-Ra St. Brown. And, I mean, they're an air raid offense. They go five wide. And they've got some really talented running backs from Stephen Carr, Marquise Stepp, now with Kedon Slovis as the quarterback, kind of entrenched. You know, the line has some youth with, I think, particularly the guards are both. As a matter of fact, across the middle, the guards and the center are sophomores. But the tackles, Austin Jackson, who's been a really good player for a couple years now, and Drew Richmond are seniors. So make no mistake about it. This is a hell of a matchup. It's USC at home, the South leader via tiebreaker. And it's going to be, hey, you know, Oregon was a two-touchdown favorite this past Saturday. An air raid team came in here and gave them all kind of issues. And you know how things got down to the nub before they figured it out, and you know the game-winning kick by Lewis after the touchdown, the drive engineered by Justin Herbert. You know, it was a nail biter to get the win at Seattle, and we'll see what happens. Really looking forward to this. Again, it'll be a 5 o'clock kickoff. We'll start our pregame activity at 1 o'clock down at Sam's Place on Wilson Street. So it's going to be a huge Saturday. Hey, there's a lot to play for. It's the first Saturday in November. That's kind of like you just click the volume up to 10 because magnitude comes to mind. All right, man, we're into the third inning of the World Series. Houston looking to ice their second championship in 3 years, up 2-1 against Washington with the Nats at bat. Thanks to Jorgie for joining us today. Have yourselves a great evening. Thanks to listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.